Hi, I'm David, and this is Build to Succeed from Very Good Ventures. Today, we talk with Lendon Robinson, a staff engineer at Etsy. We're going to talk about how to build success in mobile in a two-sided marketplace, as well as the importance of understanding the needs of the business as software engineers. So let's build some new ideas. All right. Hi, Lendon. Thank you so much for joining us. Welcome to the Build to Succeed podcast.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Great. Why don't you get us started? I know you work at Etsy. Maybe you could give us a bit of your background, your story, your career arc of how you got here today and kind of catch everybody up to what's going on for you these days.
Yeah, absolutely. So I've been in IT probably about 20 some years. I won't bore you with a lot of the early career, but I'd started my career in software development doing web. Traditionally, it was the .NET. Microsoft.NET, everybody wanted a web application at the time. I did that for a few years, learned a lot about SQL and things of that nature. And then sort of mobile came out somewhere around 2007, I think, iOS and Android. And I did a lot of the Android work early on in my career, probably for the first 7 or 8 years, mainly because it was a low barrier to entry. You only had to have a PC to get started. So I really sort of dove into the Android development. And then Swift sort of came out. I thought that was pretty cool because I did not like Objective-C whatsoever. I did iOS for a little bit. And then Flutter came out. I think Flutter came out somewhere, I don't remember, 2002 or something, 17 or something like that. And I was a traditional native guy, of course, and you couldn't get me to try a cross-platform framework at all until Flutter came out, which completely changed my mind. And I worked with a few companies that were basically migrating native to Flutter. And then that's sort of how I ended up at Etsy, because they were in a similar position where they were looking to move away from native development more toward like cross-platform using Flutter.
So you have a awesome story right there, like web into native, both iOS and Android, and then discovered Flutter. What was it about Flutter when you saw it that suddenly got over your sort of concerns about cross-platform?
I think for me, the fact that Flutter builds pretty much every pixel on the screen from a display perspective, like they don't reuse like these wrappers of native components, was a really big draw to me, because it was very difficult for me as a native guy to tell that this was done across platform. And then I think the tooling that Flutter initially had, it was very akin to native, where I've had experience with like other cross-platform technologies where you didn't have the debugging tooling or the things like that, which just wasn't there. The developer experience wasn't there. So coupled with the developer experience, along with the ability to paint every pixel on the screen, I just sort of fell in love with Flutter.
That's perfect. I think there's a lot of people that follow that pathway. And, you know, there was something magical about Flutter, especially early on, where people just kind of felt like it made things easier again, you know, made it kind of fun to do. So now you're at Etsy, and I believe you're working on the Etsy Seller App Initiative. Can you give us an overview of your current role and what's going on with Etsy these days in terms of technology and mobile?
So for those that don't know, Etsy is a two-sided marketplace that sort of brings buyers and sellers together, and then unique crafted items is sort of what brings everybody together. So Etsy traditionally has like a buyer app and a seller's app, and I'm typically work on the seller app. So it's like the go-to place to go for like on-the-go management of seller stores. When I joined the team, it probably was about 4 engineers at the time. I didn't hit start a new project for the seller app, but I was pretty close from some people that did. And I think, you know, we progress over the years. Currently, the team is about 8 engineers. And my current role is kind of more skewed toward like platform work these days, work that sort of involves like, you know, upgrades, tech deck, performance, modernization, things of that nature.
And that's within the Flutter code base for the Etsy seller app?
Correct.
So what's the history of the overall sort of Etsy mobile app experience? I mean, obviously it's 2025 and, you know, mobile or iOS and Android came out a long time ago. Was the Seller app always like, what did it start as a Flutter app, or was there a native app before that? What's the sort of history that got you to having a Flutter Seller app?
Yeah. So the story I've been told is that you can see that the Seller app used to have a legacy app that had the traditional iOS and Android team. And I think they were sort of merged in sort of with the buyer side, the way I understand it. And so there were times where, you know, I guess resources or, you know, time constraints that they started looking at more toward going toward kind of this cross-platform work. But they traditionally had your regular native iOS and Android building on the Seller app.
Gotcha. So before the Seller app and the consumer app were kind of like one code base, and this was just kind of a variant of it?
Yeah, exactly. From what I can tell is everybody sort of shared the same code base. It's just different functionality, different builds for the Seller side and the buyer
cool.
side.
So got an opportunity to split it out and leverage some new technology right. with Flutter. That's awesome.
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, and I'm curious, like with your own personal experience, the flow that you went through, but also maybe from other teammates, and even to some extent, the perception of the current native team still working on the consumer app relative to the Seller team working with Flutter. What are some of the comparisons that you think you've identified or been able to kind of dig into relative to the other solutions, right? Like you got React Native, you got the whole Xamarin MAUI set of things. You even just have web apps, progressive apps, things like that. What are some of the differences, though, and when you talk about it internally, that you think has made this successful as a Flutter app?
I think some of the key differences is I think the infamous, you know, one code base for two platforms, I think speaks a lot. I think that it is very evident as we move more toward Flutter. Some of the things that stay the same are probably, you know, the architectural things of it, the modernization of it, the things of the abstraction layers, like all of those things are the same. It's just sort of implemented different. But I would definitely think that the biggest difference is being able to have engineers write the code once and have it tested on two different platforms are like, it's a really big deal. Mm. It's a really big time flavor.
Yeah. How do you guys interface with the other mobile developers? Are you guys close to them? Does each team, sort of the native people who are working on the consumer app and the Flutter team working on the Seller app, do they collaborate a lot together?
I would say early on, we worked a little bit more closely with the native guys because we were trying to understand like feature sets and how things were done. You know, do we want to reinvent the wheel or not? So I think early on, we worked pretty hand in hand with a lot of the native people, or we sought out a lot of their advice or how to do things. But I think as things moved away from the early on, we started sort of being really separate, apart from, like I mentioned earlier, the architectural pieces of it, the observability pieces of it. We still have those common threads, but early on we worked pretty heavily close to the native team. But as we got close, you know, further away from, you know, building out, getting our own cadence, we sort of kind of forced our own way. Mm.
And organizationally, is the work you guys are doing, is Flutter seen as a real advantage and benefit for the company overall, given your pace and velocity that you're able to move more quickly and with maybe even fewer or more efficient resources?
Honestly, I think we see that a lot in our org, in the Seller org, from a company-wide perspective. Honestly, I don't see a lot of that being talked about, but I definitely think it's being noticed because, like I mentioned earlier, our team is 8 engineers and we're able to handle this core app. So I'm pretty sure they're being noticed.
Right on.
A small but mighty team, but we don't make a whole lot of rah-rah about it, but we could.
Yeah. How big is the overall engineering team at Etsy? I mean, I know that's a lot. You got web, backend, mobile. Like, what are we talking?
Honestly, I do not know the numbers. I know it's a lot. I know the native teams, Android and iOS, is probably 5 times as large as our team, and that's probably being generous. But there's a lot of engineers that support the native,
right.
the native apps.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, a lot going on with consumer apps, of course. You're doing a ton of stuff there to market to them and promote things to them. And maybe the Seller experience is a little bit, you know, in terms of the overall, there's some of that's probably just because of additional complexity, but obviously, you know, I think one of the key advantages of cross-platform is being able to do more with the resources you have. And I think that's just been really Flutter's unique niche and opportunity is to create a great experience and to do it by giving your engineers superpowers to do more. So it seems like you guys are enjoying those benefits there.
Totally.
How did you start the team? I mean, I know that started before you got there, but when you think about the evolution and growth, how did Etsy go about establishing a team and some expertise and something brand new? And as the team has grown and you've been there and developed that team, and maybe you've had some people leave, some people join, what's generally been the strategy to bring people from Etsy or new hires into this seller app and the Flutter experience?
Yeah, I think it starts with just really good engineers, people that know how to problem solve, people that sort of can look at a bigger picture, if you will. And I think that's been really crucial in us being able to keep a really good team around. Most of the team that started this project is still around. So we're very fortunate to have that on our side. But even when we have different people sort of come in and build inside the app, it just starts with really good engineers, really good documentation to keep the momentum going that we started early on. Mm.
Do you mean documentation that was written about the old app, or you guys have been writing good documentation as you've been going?
Yeah, I think we try to do a good job and try to document like how the app is set up, you know, how to get going really easily locally. Here's some best practices that we have that you should be considering. So I think that goes a long way when you try to bring internal people into the team and build out and Flutter.
Mm. And I know what Etsy obviously started as a website, and probably I would imagine there's a strong web engineering culture, and you started at Web 2. Do you people on your team, do they traditionally come from like a web engineering background or like a mobile background? How do they, are there any patterns that tend to kind of get good results with Flutter engineering?
I think our team, most of our team come from native, either Android or iOS or both. So that makes it really easy to like build. Yeah, like it's different building software in mobile versus web, because especially some of the release cycles and how fast you can get updates out and things like that. So the majority of the team, they do come from native. The other part of the team are probably pretty much full stack engineers that kind of know backend and web. But I think what we've seen, generally speaking, is that if you have some type of experience doing mobile development, you know, you won't have a problem sort of fitting in with Flutter.
And how do you guys work with the broader, you know, so you obviously have the seller app, your Flutter engineering team, you got the consumer app, you also have the whole web and full stack and all the data and all that sort of thing. But you also have the product teams, the design teams, I would imagine all of these other teams that you guys are working with. How have you made some like, you know, safe on-ramps for people to get involved with your code base and to kind of work well with you guys, given the fact that you guys can move pretty quickly and you can kind of build something that works on all the platforms for all the sellers? How do you kind of keep in sync with everything going on the, you know, the native consumer apps and the web app? I assume there's a web-based seller experience too. How do you kind of like work with all of these different teams and people to sort of stay in sync and make sure you're executing and shipping in parity?
Yeah, I think, I guess the big thing that I think we do really well is like we do a lot of collaborative development where you have certain teams that build certain features while other teams build other features, but we all come together to build like a great experience for our sellers. From a technical standpoint, like the way we sort of do that for web engineers is like we create like these collabs that sort of walk people through how to build in Flutter, like some of the best practices that we've uncovered. We also do like rotations from other team members where you maybe have a single engineer that's sort of embedded in our team that builds their feature. They get to learn how we work and how the code base works and things like that. And I will sort of early on, and that evolved into more of like a program we have now where we can have more than one engineer, sort of like the away team. That comes in and is able to build out their feature from like beginning to all the way to production. And I think that's sort of how we imagined it from early on, where we could always have people outside of the core Etsy seller app team to come in and build different features. So you couple that with everybody has a shared mission of building great tools. Everybody's on the same page about, you know, what features we need to build. It makes it a lot easier to build Yeah.
Amazing. So this concept of the away team and those embedded engineers, was that a broader Etsy initiative or was that a seller app thing that you guys stood up first?
It was something that the seller app stood up. Again, when I got at Etsy, I didn't hear a lot about things like that because traditionally speaking on the consumer side, if an away team wanted to build a feature in the native app, then you had to either get a special team member to do it or you had to get on their roadmap. So this paradigm is a little bit different from what they see on the buyer consumer side, where we actually allow people to come in and build inside the code base. It's not as daunting because of native code. I mentioned already that Flutter and Dart are very similar to kind of like React and JavaScript. So it's a natural progression to kind of come in and build. And that's worked out really well for us. It allows us to like be really feature rich for our sellers, where it's just not one team that's providing all the functionality, a Flutter team that's providing all the functionality.
Wow. I love that idea, the concept of the away team and bringing them into your team. And so they have the opportunity to learn from you guys and your expertise and be safe because you can guide them around things. But if you have good documentation onboarding, you can bring someone in and help them end to end. How do you, I assume you need some like leadership commitment and sort of buy-in on that to make sure that people, the away team can come and be left alone for the time they need to ship feature, right? How did you navigate that internally?
Yeah, I think it's a credit to, like I was saying, like the collaborativeness of kind of Etsy and us building, like everybody's on the same mission of building great tools. So no matter if it's us or the away team, like the leadership from product to their engineering leadership, like everybody's like on the same page building. So it wasn't a hard stretch to say, if, you know, your team has come up with this great feature, you're going to build it on web and you're going to build it on mobile. So here's what it's going to take, right? A few weeks, a few sprints, and then, you know, with the Etsy Seller app, a few times with the web. So I think the fact that we think in that nature makes it a little easier for everybody to sort of be on board with how things are set up.
Do you ever get away teams from the native team, from the consumer side? Or is it mostly web people coming in?
It's mostly web people on the seller side of the marketplace,
gotcha.
Whether it's shipping features or message features, whatever the case may be.
That's cool. You know, you've uncovered something here that I think is pretty interesting. In my experience, a lot of times Flutter teams that are successful get started from mobile engineering backgrounds. Whereas like React Native, I think because of React into React Native, there's a lot of React web teams that get into Flutter. Or just web teams in general. And I think that there's like a cognitive thing. There's like an experience thing that you kind of have to struggle with next, which is like you're actually building for mobile. And mobile has a whole different set of needs and parameters and expectations than web does. And so not only do you have to learn like a new language or a new framework, but you also have to learn like a new platform you're building for. But what I've seen is people who come from native backgrounds and they get into Flutter, they understand all the nuance of like what it takes to build a good mobile app. But you guys have kind of done both, because you said before that your team is largely formed out of like native engineers who adapted to Flutter, and now you're bringing in web people. But because they have you as sort of experts to help coach and lead them, they're able to come in and pretty quickly be productive. I think that's just a really cool pattern to follow.
Yeah, it's been pretty awesome and rewarding as well, because a lot of the things that we set up early on, like the abstraction layers, making things easy, like, you know, I think early on, we thought a lot about the developer experience a couple of years into, because our end goal was to not only speed up development, but also to allow these other teams to come in and build. So that was always sort of like top of mind, went through and sort of set up the code base and set up everything else. But yeah, it's pretty awesome to see this our feature rich application that can really help our sellers manage their shops on the go or whatever the case may be.
So when a web person from the website of the seller experience comes into your team, that away team comes in, what is their kind of day-to-day look like for the first, let's say it's a month project or 2 months, what does that day-to-day look like? How do you get them ramped up to speed to do Flutter quickly? Do you have like some training you give them? Do you just let they get in there and read some docs, or how does that work?
Yeah, I think I mentioned earlier about like code labs. Okay. We have code labs to sort of walk people through how to set up. Like, I think the code lab builds like this feature in the app. And we have all these, you know, pretty good documentation to show you how to set up the API request. How do you set up state management? is sort of like, you know, the top level, high level things that have to be done pretty much for every feature. So that's sort of part of the onboarding. So there's like this ramp up onboarding time, maybe 1 to 2 weeks, in which they go through. And then, you know, somebody from our team is aware of what feature is being built. There's engineering discussions on best ways to do it. And then I think we've adjusted along the way as far as how involved we are with the project. So like, as we understand more knowledge about what's being built, we can provide like way more context, much more support for the way team, because, you know, we understand what they're building. Like, so day to day, probably, you know, week by week, we're being available for questions they may ask from a technical standpoint of why things aren't working the way they think it is. We're there reviewing PRs to make sure they're following best practices. And I think it's just an iterative approach of like building PRs, pushing, testing, and things like that. So it's support that we do have to provide. So we do provide, you know, daily support for the way teams. But I think mainly they're just cranking out their features, learning Flutter, having fun.
I love it. That's awesome. What is the general structure of your team? Like, I know it's a small team, 8 people, but you get these away teams to come in. And I assume when they're on the team, they're, you know, welcomed and kind of part of the seller team for a bit. Are you guys structured by feature? Like, how do you structure? You're on the platform team kind of side, you said. What's the general topography of the Etsy seller team?
Yeah, it's pretty much sort of by feature. So there's a subset of features that certain teams own, whether it's either web or mobile. And I think it really aligns well with our strategy, allowing just any team to sort of built in, because you might have a team that, I don't know, that's specific to inventory, right? They're going to build it on web, and then they're going to build it in mobile. So, you know, this allows those teams to do. So we are sort of structured or organized by feature set. And then, of course, you mentioned a platform team as well.
Nice. And as people come in, is this, again, I'm really interested in this way team concept. I think it's really innovative and cool way to do it, especially in the context of Flutter, where I think the onboarding, when you have expert support to help you, the onboarding, if you're like you started this with, if you're a competent, strong engineer, you can get up to speed pretty quickly. But how do you, as a team, ensure quality and consistency across engineers? Is different people from different parts of the business, different feature verticals, different, you know, engineering backgrounds? How do you get them on board and make sure that the quality and consistency of the overall product it remains to your standards?
Yeah, that's something that we have to be very intentional about. And I think we do that, one, by a good architecture of the app. That's one, best practices laid out. And I think we have a really good cadence of like branching and QA before releases. We, like I mentioned earlier, we do support the teams pretty much on a day-to-day basis. So nothing comes to a surprise when it's time to release these apps, like, because we've been pretty much involved with every step of the process. And I think that really helps us with the quality and consistency, because we know exactly what's going into the code base. We know exactly what they should be doing. And then we have a really good strong support for QA. Like, they do really good regression testing before our release cadence happens. Someone on the core seller app team is always understanding the code that goes in. So there's a lot of checks and balances before that code actually gets into production. And that makes us have a lot of, you know, confidence in, like, you know, the quality and the consistency of what's being done in the app.
That's awesome. And long run, now that you've been at this for a while, I mean, when did the first Flutter release get released? Do you know off the top of your head when it was first one to production?
I don't know. I do know that the strategy we wound up doing was we had the old app in the app store, and we sort of released the new app, the Flutter app, at the same time. So it probably was a couple of years after we started that we felt like we had enough features to actually put an app out. But we basically ran both apps.
Oh, interesting. Gotcha.
Side by side, cool. at the same time.
Yeah. Well, I love those strategies too. There's so many different ways. There's people who stop what they're doing and they kind of switch to all Flutter. There's the kind where you just do add to app and you start adding new features in Flutter. And kind of Sam Moore from Betterment describes the strangler fig pattern, which is like a vine that wraps around a tree. Mm-hmm. And until eventually you just kind of eat away the old app and you're just left with the Flutter app. You know, it sounds like you guys did the strategy of maintaining two fully independent apps until you got them to parity and launched them. That's a strong strategy too. I think that's really interesting.
Yeah.
Were there any, like, when you look back now that you're on this, and when you operate in a regular basis and cadence, Are there some like tangible, real benefits you guys point to in terms of that as a result of your technology solutions and frankly, your like technology team architecture and your engineering philosophies and approaches? What are the tangible benefits within Etsy in terms of how your team is operating?
Mm-hmm. I think it goes back to what you were saying about, you know, we do more with less. I think that's something that we can really, you know, look at, you know, even from, you know, from a standpoint of let's look back and see what we've accomplished. And we've able to, you know, have a lot of features in a short amount of time. And I also think that because we do use Flutter, like it's, you know, there's no compromise in design because we paint every pixel on the screen. You know, traditionally speaking, in my experience, there's always telling the developer, oh, well, I don't know, we need to do this, it's going to take too long, or there's always some compromise in design, right? And I think with Flutter, that technology choice, there's not a lot of compromise. I think that's really a nice benefit to look back on because we chose the technology. And then I think I mentioned this before, but I think the fact that we allow these way teams to come in and build, we can get feature. It's just a feature-rich application for our sellers, which we can look back and say, you know, that's, we could probably do the same thing without Flutter, but the speed in which we did it, the ease of which we did it, Flutter allowed us to do it.
Well, I also think you were pointing out before that, like, maybe this away team concept wouldn't work as well in native code bases because, first of all, you still have two. The away team would have to go to two places, iOS and Android. But also, as you mentioned, those languages are a little bit harder to understand from their, Dart is similar to some web programming, you know. And I just, that has to impact culture too, in terms of like how the company culturally works together and sees each other. Cause there's this interesting nuance that I think Flutter in particular has seemed to unlock for people, which is sort of breaking down these associations with a particular language or framework or platform. Like you identify in your careers, I'm an iOS engineer, or I'm a Swift engineer, or I'm a React engineer, all these things. And I think people still say Flutter, I'm a Flutter engineer, but when you really get into it, I think people feel like they're just product engineers. Like they can just work on a lot of different things. And have you started to kind of see some of that cultural shift as you've got these away teams going and the team kind of gets this sort of broader vision of what's possible?
Yeah, that's absolutely. Cause I've noticed that, you know, as we talk about features, you know, like I said, very collaborative, but like, I think people start focusing on like the product itself, as opposed to sort of being confined by what can we do on Android or what can we do on iOS. It's more of a like really product driven mindset that I think that I've seen happen over the years. I think teams sort of like almost reorganize around product domains as opposed to like platform domains, right? So it's very specific to just the product that we're making. And I think it just helps us streamline like interactions and just making it easier for people to sort of collaborate and discuss new ideas, because everybody pretty much has the same goal, like build these really great tools for our sellers. And I think that culture has this sort of amplified just because we have this cross-platform initiative.
I like that. That's a really, you know, people tend to think about the buy one, get one free thing, right? Well,
right.
I can just write the code once and it runs on iOS and Android. But you've kind of hit on this idea of it affects like your product decision-making, because when you do have to think about your different platforms and your different end device types that you're hitting, I do think you're right that there's this sort of almost from the beginning, you're taking this filtering process of like, well, how's that going to work on Android? How's that going to work on iOS? You know, it needs to behave kind of differently, or there's nuance between those things that are different when you're at that level. But you're right that when you get to this point where you're just kind of building it the same way, you're really just like, well, what's the best way to build it? Not like, how do I kind of fit this into whatever kind of restrictions I'm faced to deal with? And I think that's maybe a good way to think about the product power that these solutions really help to create for people. Thinking about design, app design in particular, one of the things that I think people get worried about sometimes is how do we kind of keep it, you know, unique to iOS and Android? Or how do we ensure that it doesn't just become some like lowest common denominator app design? Turns out that's a hard word to say. And, you know, make sure that it feels flashy and special and cool and unique and kind of conforms to the unique nuances of the platforms that you're actually deploying. Have you guys developed any good strategies to make sure that you're kind of are still meeting the needs of your users on different platforms, even though you're just building it one time?
I think we have. And I guess I can see that manifest itself. And I think I know from my past experience and something that I see a lot done and answered that I didn't see previously. It was like you sort of prioritize like the capability of the feature or like the ease of use over simplicity. Because I think I've seen a lot of experiences where we'll just dumb down solutions or product solutions because it's easier, it fits into the time constraints, things like that. But I think, you know, we've got a really good job at being able to look at the capabilities of the app and easy to use rather than just trying to make things simple.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense. All right. So given we're here in today's world where everyone's talking about AI, one question I wanted to ask you about too is AI and usage in within Etsy and within your workflow, and in particular, how you guys are using it or not using it. Are you using some AI in your development process so far, or where are you guys on that position?
I don't think the team has fully embraced AI like we should. I think some of us are using some of the coding assistant tools like Copilot to help us like do some of the mundane tasks. But I definitely think it's something that we can start considering, because if AI can help us, you know, be force multipliers of ourselves, why wouldn't we? You know, some things that come to mind for me are like, you know, translations or like maybe unit tests or things like that could possibly be easily done with AI. But we have yet to sort of dive into it. But from Etsy as a whole, I think they're really embracing AI and LLMs. Like some of the problem sets that the buyers, consumer size, like it's just tailor-made for LLMs and things like that. But they're Etsy definitely fully on board. They want us to use it. They want us to see how we can maximize it. So definitely excited going for how we can sort of layer that into the already pretty nice and smooth process we have going right
now. Yeah. No, I think it's tough because you got to figure out how to use these things in the context of still doing the job that you're asked. You still have deadlines and you don't want to waste precious time kind of experimenting or playing with things. I think it's like even that transition, that challenge, I don't know about you guys, but there's a lot of like engineers by nature, I think are, there's that famous, I forget who it was it Bill Gates or somebody who's like, you know, the best engineers are lazy engineers because they're the ones who want to solve a problem so they don't have to solve it again, which I think is an interesting insight, and AI can help with that. But also it means that like, you don't really want to rock the boat if a process is working. But I think actually the switch to AI for engineers is basically the same exact thing, you know, going through that transition to using a tool like Flutter. If you were a native iOS or Android engineer, you kind of have this thing like, well, this is the best way to do it. And that other thing feels like it might compromise it somehow. There's this promise of like insane developer productivity, but there's this fear of like, well, it's not going to be as good or something. And so one of the things I say to the team at VGV is like, actually the value proposition of AI is the same as Flutter, which is just making our engineers have even more superpowers than they had before. And really kind of accelerating and accentuating the unique skills of the person who's architecting the system, which is really cool. So be interesting to see as it progresses. So
yeah, totally. I think that's the way I sort of envision it myself going, where like we're going to get so good at developing to, you know, we'll have more time to focus on architecture. We have more time to focus on better experience, right? Because we can just crank them out so easily. So I'm excited to see what the next 2 to 5 years bring.
Yeah. And in the context of that, you know, adopting new technologies, I think Etsy was an early adopter of Flutter, and you guys and your team there have been kind of pushing along in production, adding a lot of value. What's something you think, when you think back on your experience, what's something you think teams might get wrong when they try to adopt a new technology, when they're really trying to embrace something new within the organization?
Good question. I think for me, probably, and I'm a technologist, like I go after the shiny things a lot. But I think you have to be very cognizant of like the business solution you're trying to solve, right? If it doesn't make sense for the business, even though it's the coolest thing out there, as hard as it may be, you just, you know, you can't go that right. You have to find a business. And I've seen some companies that just go after shiny things without any like business, and it never ends well. So
That's insightful. And actually, it tracks with things I've heard from other people who we've talked to, which is, it seems like when these things go well, it is really tightly rooted to like a specific business outcome, that, you know, that what you're doing isn't just for fun. It's not even to make your own life easier or something. It's to really impact the business in a strong way. And when you have strong leadership buy-in, you know, the adoption of that new technology goes well because everyone's aligned on like what the outcome could possibly be. So yeah, like now you're growing your career, you're a more senior person. And so along those lines, sort of enablement and kind of having vision, when you think about leadership and the leadership things maybe you observed on your team that has helped you to be successful, what do you think the most important thing a leader can do for their team is?
I think from my perspective, a really strong leader like is to sort of like empower and support the team by just fostering like this environment of like clear communication, trust, recognition. I think that goes a long way with trying to fortify a team, keeping the morale good. Is that if you empower a team to do what's right or what they think is right, and then you support them along the way, I think that is very important for a leader.
Awesome. And one final question then for you. So if you could go back maybe to when you were just starting out at Etsy, or maybe further back earlier in your career, and give yourself one piece of advice, what do you think it would be?
I think at this stage of my career, I touched on it a little bit. It's just, I would invest more time in understanding like the business side of it. I think early on in my career, you know, I just wanted to build cool things and like try new things. But I think if you couple that energy with understanding how it affects business as you go into engineering leadership, as you move up in your career, I think those things bode really well, where you can be that distinguished engineer because you know so much about the business, right? So if I had to go back and tell my future self, like, take time to understand business you're in, like, find an industry that you really love and really passionate about and go for it that way. But the business with great software is really magical.
That is a brilliant insight. I love that. I think, yeah, that's amazing because you're right. So many people get hung up on, you know, how does this stuff work? Or how do I learn all the nuances of this API or get super excited about a technology? But what is technology? Like, ultimately, we're trying to get outcomes. We're trying to make something.
Right.
You know, whether it's something people love or that makes an impact on the business we work for. And, you know, connecting the dots of those two things with the right focus is more likely to lead to something that you get to keep doing it is the things.
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for sharing all these insights today. I really appreciate your time. Does Etsy have a place where if people are ever, you know, interested in careers or jobs, or obviously Etsy.com is where to go to find out more about Etsy.
Yep.
Anything you want to plug?
No, I think go to Etsy.com, go find some gifts for your loved ones, your friends, your family. And yeah.
Well, and if you're ever hiring for Flutter engineers, let us know. We'll help shout it out to the community and get some more people heading your way. So I appreciate what you
awesome.
Guys are doing, both for the world at large with Etsy and also for the Flutter community. And I appreciate you coming on.
Yeah. Awesome. It was a great time, David. Thanks for having us. And yeah.
Thank you for joining us on Build to Succeed, a Very Good Ventures podcast. We hope you enjoy exploring the experiences and insights of leaders that have built successful digital products. Please take a moment to leave us a review, and don't forget to subscribe to get our latest episodes. Thanks again, and see you next time.